Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You have a nice day?
Well, a busy one. But I made it back with 5 minutes to spare. So all is well.
Malcolm.
Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening.
Today's class is continuing our study of Yom Kippur from the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. Row one, right-hand column, you get to the list of all of the parashas. Scroll down to the bottom and click on the Yom Kippur landing page. When that opens up, we are studying the Zohar on Pinchas, section 120. And we start with Pasuk 807. And we start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud, Kuchabri, Hulishkin, Babib, Hilur, Himud, Hilud, Hilur, Himu. Liakta, Lashem, Yute, Bavate, Yehuda, Shalim, Bishem, Kod Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino amadonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu kunenei aleinu ma'asei adenu kunenehu. Uve'asor lachodesh ha'shvi'i bihu tishrei mikra kodesh yihye lachem ta'ayom ha'kipurim ve'ihu asiri. Yud Kalil me'aserat yemei teshuvah v'katakinu be'ya Hashem tzilotin v'chabira im Hashem ma mikra chodesh le'afresha le'ya mishar yomin de'it behu. Uchana dechogin da kom lechet avoda lo tasu. The translation. And you shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is the month of Tishrei, a holy gathering, which is Yom Kippur, which is the 10th, which is Yud. And these are the 10 days of repentance. And five prayer services were ordained for it in order to join the Yud with the He. Namely, Chachma with Bina. What is the meaning of holy gathering? It is to differentiate it from other days when secular work is permitted, which is why Scripture says, you shall not do any work. My commentary is the Pasuk is clear as it is written. Any questions or comments or thoughts? What does the Yud Hey connect you to?
The concealed light. The concealment.
It connects you to the upper worlds.
Right.
It connects you to Bina. It connects you to the Gimel Rishonot, the upper three.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of the secrets of Yom Kippur in this one pasuk, if you only would recognize that. What is the holiday of Yom Kippur? It is the day. It is the day that we connect to Bina. And what is the purpose of connecting to Bina on that day? It's so that you can change the DNA of your year. Pasuk 808. Kiyom in de it bechon melechet holy nun. Mesit ra de et hadaat tovira de it rapach. Mima tel anachash umin chash lemate. Le kol had kifum ovado. Adamus Nemtet Mate Nahash Samach Mem Havalev Bechai Yomad Ihu Yom Hakipurim De Eat Kere Kodesh Shalta Ilana Techaye Dila ishtata imeya shatanu pega ra umisitreya lo yagur ha ra ugin da baeya naishin avdin peilana dechaye Uveya naftan Beherut Beya nafke Meshul shaliyachon. The translation. And those days on which secular work may be done are from the side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that turned from a rod into a serpent, and from a serpent back into a rod, for each person according to his deeds. And this Memtet is rod, while Samach Mem is serpent. But on this day, which is Yom Kippur, that is called holy, the tree of life is in control, and no devil nor evil spirit joins with it. And from its side, nor shall evil dwell with you. But it is throughout good, and this is why in it, in the tree of life, the slaves find rest and go out to freedom and emerge from their chains. Questions, comments, thoughts? Actually, I'll read my commentary. Yom Kippur is an annual Yovel, or Jubilee, where the slaves to Satan are released from their chains that connect us to the desire to receive for oneself alone. This is the tree of death, known as the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Questions, comments, thoughts?
It's, I see it as like a jubilee as well. I mean, everybody goes free in the jubilee.
Correct. But who are you going free from?
From yourself, from your ego, from your...
Very good. All of the above is true. You have to release the chains that bind you. That's what Teshuvah is, because all of the chains that bind you are of your own making. But how difficult
that be?
Go ahead.
Would that be like in a angelic like you become an angelic being on that day?
You become an angelic being on that day, and you remain on that level until you make a mistake, till you sin.
Wow. So if you don't sin the whole year, you're in that angelic state of being?
Correct.
Wow.
That's
it really
why it's such a powerful day, and that's why it's so misunderstood. Because you never heard that before.
No.
And even if you did hear it before, you don't accept it as truth. Because it's hard to accept that a human being can become an angelic being while the human being is in the body.
Wow.
And that's the purpose of this section, to break that klipot that is not letting you perceive the truth of these statements.
I always thought it was just for that day.
Why would it remain only that day?
I guess I've never given it really deep thought. It's a festival. I guess I saw it as a festival day. I didn't realize that state of being could continue until you sin.
Correct. But as you said, you didn't give it deep thought, so now I'm going to ask you, why didn't you give it deep thought? You're constantly questioning things. Which is a good thing.
I just never heard this teaching. I just never once, no one's ever presented it.
Malka, I don't spoon feed you. You could have arrived at that teaching without me. The important aspect of this teaching is, if you're an angelic being, what are your limitations? What can you not do?
Is that a question?
Yes.
What can you not do is you cannot sin. You should not bring sin into your vessel and your soul.
Then how do you explain the fallen angels of Satan? How do you explain Azazel, this fallen angel?
Angels can sin,
they just don't. Angels are so close to the light that they can see the results of their actions. And because they can see the results of their actions, they don't do a negative actions. But a human being can see the results of his actions also when he reaches that level of an angelic being.
Wow.
So again, ask the question, what can you not do? When you are in a body, we know that you cannot understand God. What else can you not do while you're in that body?
Cannot do negative actions. Binding by striking.
Binding by striking becomes second nature. you automatically stop a reaction before it occurs. Because you, as an angelic being, you're so close to the light that you can see the results of your own actions.
And you don't do those actions.
Say again?
But then you don't do the, if you can see your actions, then you don't do those actions. You do positive.
See the result that it's going to hurt somebody, you don't do it. If you see the result that's going to hurt yourself, you don't do it. If you see the results, you know, you'll know, okay, I can do this, or no, I can't. There's no free choice anymore, is there?
No. Thank you.
There's free choice. You could choose to sin, but you wouldn't normally because you see the results of the action. That's what starts today. That's what starts on Yom Kippur. You have to break the klipa that makes you a positive being. You have to break the klipa because that breaking of the klipa is what elevates you to the higher level. Now you just got connected to Yom Kippur, and you've spent 10 days cleansing yourself through the Slichot ritual, which means cleansing. You've cleansed yourself through the 13 attributes of mercy. You've cleansed yourself through hearing the shofar, and you've cleansed yourself from all of the actions. Every day, you're going from Malchut to Yesod to Hod to Netzach, all the way up to the Keter of Bina.
And that's where you say
don't make that mistake. Go ahead, Khan, I'm sorry.
Well, two Rosh Hashanahs ago, to me, what I saw was that scripture that says, your face shall see your teacher. And right at first, I thought you were on your way from Utah, I think, to where you are today. And I thought, my first thought was, oh, you might stop by Lake Charles. Now, I laugh at that now because over the next... from that point on, but within a few months, then I saw it in a different way, and that was when that you were starting to see Hashem face to face, in other words, being connected very close to the light, or to the light. And to me, it started at Rosh Hashanah and all the things that we had been doing, which you just said, Slichot and the 13 attributes, and not just once a day, several times a day, and, you know, Shofar and studying Zohar and binding by striking, and Anah B'Koach, all the twos that we've been putting to practice. And I think the revelation this year of seeing Yom HaKippur, Kippurim, and your translation as the day like Purim, and we know what happened at Purim. Hashem came through and Haman, the bad guy, was thrown aside. So that's what happens on Yom Kippur.
On Yom Kippur, let's go back to the phrase, a day like Purim. What happens on Purim? You turn over. You change. On Purim, you trust to luck. You trust to the dice. Isn't that what Purim means? Dice?
Mm-hmm.
Roll the dice. But is that what the true meaning of Purim is? No, you look through the veil of chance and you see Hashem face to face. What do the religious people teach about Yom Kippur? God is, you pray to God that He will write you in the book of life. What do the Kabbalists teach? That you create your own book of life. You're telling God, this is what's going to happen this year. Now, that's kind of offensive to a religious person. But isn't that what this verse said that we just read? But on this day, which is Yom Kippur, that is called holy, the tree of life is in control. There is no devil, there's no evil spirit. There's only good. So is God creating that, or are you?
To me, it sounds like the day.
In the tree of life, the slaves find rest. And they go out to freedom, just like the Jubilee. The slaves reemerge from their chains. When you sin, Satan catches you. How? What do we teach about guilt? Oh, you did a negative action? Okay, be happy. You feel guilty? Satan got you a second time. You're in the chains of Satan. But when the tree of life is here, there is no Satan. He can't exist in that kind of life.
Is this a kind of a foreshadow of what it would be like when Yom Kippur comes annually? To me, it's like a foreshadow of when the Mashiach will come. There will be peace.
You're absolutely correct. There's only one difference. When the Mashiach comes, who's creating the peace? The Mashiach? God? Or the people themselves?
The people will bring the Mashiach. Is that correct?
Correct. So the people are the cause of bringing peace.
Right.
Yom Kippur is that peace. Who's creating it? The people are. The people are creating their year ahead. We are creating our own year ahead. What's it going to look like? Is your spouse going to become closer to you? You're going to have a better relationship? Your financial strength improves? Your children constantly call you to tell you they love you? What does your year look like? What do you want it to look like? It's a pretty lofty goal, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it true? Can you accept it as truth?
Yes.
Do you know it's true? Are
yes.
you going to create your year in the consciousness that you have that day while you maintain your consciousness? You build your year. What are your normal days like in consciousness? You jump from one thought to the next, to the third, to the fourth, ad infinitum, constantly moving from one thought to the other. What happens in meditation? You focus on one thing. Do you have the strength of mind to focus on one thing? World peace. You can bring it all by yourself. You don't need anybody else. All by yourself, you can bring it. You just have to have the consciousness and the merit. But all of the people who heard the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, all of the people on Yom Kippurim have that connection. They're on that level. You just have to accept it as truth. And then you have to manifest it with your consciousness. You have to work at maintaining your consciousness. You can't be jumping around. And I'm being facetious now. You can't be looking at somebody else's dress, because that's all you're going to do is create a new dress for yourself. You want a new dress, or you want world peace? You can't be listening to the conversation in the synagogue. Why? Because it takes you away from your focus on world peace. How do you go into a meditation? You focus on something, and when you get distracted, you try and come back to it. But you don't just try, you come back to it and stay focused on it. So what one thing will you stay focused on? Will it be world peace? Will it be parnasa, sustenance? Will it be health? And will that be for you or your family or your country or for the world? I don't know if you've read the emails yet from the last Saturday for Yom Kippur. But is that paragraph making sense to you now? Or at least more sense? So have I preached enough for one night?
No.
Well, we're out of time, so I'll have to start preaching again at the next class, the 7 o'clock West Coast time class.
Okay.
But we'll Hashem can show you what you should focus on, right? I mean, that's what I felt like. I thought yes, the other night, you know. I felt like Hashem can show you what easier to focus on. And the other night, you know, especially after our class, Donna, and I think you and I, and we were on the 10 songs. And so I got my focus out. And because over the years, you know, I've studied the 10 songs and went through all the handouts that I had in them. But there was something that really struck out at me. And it was the idea that when the temple was destroyed, it was a Shabbat afternoon. But the Levites didn't sing the song of Shabbat. They didn't sing Psalm 92.
Right.
They sang the song for Wednesday. And I think it was Psalm 94. And I thought, ah, that's the song that we need to be singing. I've always focused on Hazinu, but I thought, no, it should be that Psalm 94, because if the Levites were singing it and it was prophetic of what was to come, then that could be our job or my job. With me, I was seeing is it as direction. But usually when I find something, I share it with my friends, and especially Donna and Brandy, you know, we're kind of a team. And I felt like that psalm is the direction, and it's one that would count for the whole universe, you know, for the whole world. And that would be our song after Mashiach comes and the victory comes, then we would all be singing Hazinu. Now, maybe that's not correct, but that's what I got.
That's fine. Remember, there's 70 meanings. But to answer the question, why did the Levites sing the Psalm 94?
Because they were expecting Hashem to... This wasn't the end. It was just the end of that one, of that temple. It wasn't... You know, that Hashem would come back and bring vengeance on our enemies, which we know is ourselves. And
what is the day of Wednesday? What Sephirah does its Wednesday connect to?
Okay, would that be Tiferet or Yesod, one of the other? Possibly.
No. Tiferet is Tuesday. Wednesday is Netzach.
Oh, I should look at the Anabakoach. Okay. Netzach. Okay. Victory. That's it.
Netzach. What is Netzach?
Victory.
Eternal victory. But what is the only victory that's worth creating, worth having? The victory against death. If I never die, I don't worry about whether there's food on the table or if I have enough money for food on the table, because I can't die, so if I go a little bit hungry, no problem. What's eternal victory over death? Ultimately, as long as I keep working, in that day of eternal victory, I'm going to find world peace, which will start with my peace with myself. There's a lot to consider, isn't there?
Yes.
You all have a beautiful evening, and hopefully we'll see you in the next class.
Okay. What's our next class?
I'm sorry?
What are we doing next? Are we staying with people?
We're just continuing this handout.
Okay.
Shalom to all.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.